Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Over to Reverend Winston.
Good morning, church. Good to see you all. Hi, everyone on Zoom. Hope you're doing well. And it was a great night, Friday night, and it wasn't me. Honestly, I've got to give raps to my FY leaders. They're doing a great job. Well done, guys. And of course, praise God. And good on you, youth out there, for inviting your friends. Keep inviting your friends to hear about God's great love. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Let me pray, and we'll get into God's word. Our great God, we come humbly before you. We thank you for your grace. Thank you for Jesus, Lord. It's in his name that we get to enjoy this time together, to come before you, to learn from your word, God. We pray you would pour your Spirit into us and you would teach all of us, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's no doubt that COVID has changed the way that we live, how we work, how we play, how we get around, how we shop, how we socialize. Almost every part of our lives has been affected by COVID. Even how we do church has been affected by COVID. Now, the world is pretty much trying to transition back to learning to live with COVID and learning to live as we once used to live, if ever we'll get there again. But that's what we're all praying for, that hopefully things will be back to normal and all the things that have changed in our lives will be gone and in the past. But who knows? Maybe there are some things that COVID has done to our lives that are going to stay with us until we die. Maybe we might be wearing masks in trains until we die. Who knows? But some things might have changed forever. You see, there are some experiences in our lives that do change us forever. They change how we live. Some experiences are, in fact, so dramatic that they change the very nature of who we are, how we think, how we feel, how we relate with the world, how we relate with other people. And I put it to you this morning that if you have truly experienced the love of God in your life, then your life should be changed forever. The very nature of who you are and how you think and how you feel and how you relate with the world and how you relate with others around you is changed forever because you have experienced the love of God in your life. God's great, wonderful, personal, and deep love for you. Now, for the past 5 weeks, since we've merged our three English services, we've been looking at this series, Loving Our Church. And we wanted to teach all of you from God's Word how we can come together well, how we can be a community that loves one another as Christ has loved us. And here in our passage this morning, I really want us to see that God's love should transform us. We should be filled with God's love. And that love should change who we are. And we are compelled, when we've experienced that love, to love others around us. So I've just got two questions that I want us to think about this morning from the passage. And then I'll spend some time in application to wrap up our series. The first question is this: why should we love one another? And the passage is very clear. Well, we are commanded to love one another. That's something, I guess, as Christians, we shouldn't take lightly, that we're given a command from God. And if we know God, we believe God, then we should obey God. But it's much more than just a command, isn't it? Verse 7 says, "Dear friends, let us love one another." And note the context of this command. The Apostle John says, "Let us love one another because love comes from God." God has poured out his love into this world. And there's this assumption from John to the reader that the reader knows of this love of God. And so that's what we have to think about first of all for ourselves. Do you know the love of God? And what is God's love in your life doing? How is it changing you? How is it transforming you? How is it relating to the world around you and to other people around you? Because if we know God, then we know God's love, don't we? Verse 8 and verse 16 says, God is love. God is love. He's not just a little bit of love, you know, or even a lot loving. No, God is love. Love is the very nature of who God is. We cannot know God and not know his love. It's because of his love that we have a relationship with God. Verses 9 and 10 says, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. You see, God showed us his love and brought us into a relationship with him by sacrificing his Son so that we can be forgiven, so that we can have a right relationship with God and enjoy him. We who know God know his love. We've experienced his deep and wonderful love for us, when by his grace, our sins were forgiven and our eyes were opened and we entered into this personal and deep relationship with God. We've been able to enter into the very presence of God. When Jesus died and breathed his last, the curtain was torn from top to bottom and we could enter into the most holy place and be with God and pray to God and have confidence that God has become our Father and we are his children and he listens to us. And so it says in verse 11, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So here's the thing. Our love for one another really should be a response to the love that we've experienced from God. You cannot be touched by God's love and remain unmoved. We should be moved to respond, to change, to have our lives transformed, because his love should fill us. It should well up inside us. It should change us, and it should overflow to others around us. You see, the end point of God's love is not the nails into his body on the cross, but the end point of God's love is you and I. We are the end point of God's love. And when we love others like God has loved us, then his love is made complete in us. And then God's love continues to go to others to make them complete. Look at what John says in verse 12. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. And look down in verse 16. Note also what it says there in verse 16 as well. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us. I don't know if you see what's going on here, but God is love. Love is the very nature of who God is. And when we are born again in Christ, his spirit lives in us and our hearts are filled and convicted by God's great love. And God's aim is that this love that is given us be perfected in us. Notice the phrase, his love in verse 12. The love that you have as a born again person is, it's not a love that's just an imitation of God's behavior. But when we've experienced God's divine love, it transforms us and it changes us, and it ought to well up and it ought to extend out beyond ourselves to others. We love because God has loved us. We know God's love. We've experienced God's love. How can we not be changed by it? How can we not share this love with others? Now, the second question is this: what does this love look like? This love from God, this love that we're meant to give to one another. Well, loving one another ought to look like God's love for us, right? In a nutshell, it looks like Jesus on the cross. It's a selfless, unconditional, unmerited, sacrificial love. That's the sort of love that we ought to be giving to one another. That's the love we've received. That's the love we've felt and experienced. You see, there's a direct correlation between love and sacrifice. If we love someone or if we love something, then we will be willing to sacrifice for it, right? It's what love does. Now, I'm not a very romantic person. It's my wife's birthday this week, and I'll probably buy her flowers, and I do that every now and then. But I'm a very pragmatic person, and I think flowers die after a few days. Why would I spend like $100 on flowers, right? That's a poor investment, isn't it? Why would I do such a stupid thing? It's because I love. So it's not so stupid anymore, right? Because I love her. Now, that's probably a pretty poor example. Sorry. I do love you. But it's not really a sacrifice at all, right? It's money well spent in that instance. Okay. Did I save myself? No, man, I'm so in trouble. Anyway, let me change. What's another better example? I love coffee, and I sacrifice lots of dollars for coffee. That's an example. There you go. I don't know. I'm getting in trouble, aren't I? But we sacrifice for the things that we love. I know some of you youth boys out there, when I chat with you, you seem to talk a lot about gaming, and you sacrifice a lot of your time gaming. You know, you sacrifice sleep because you love gaming. We sacrifice time, money, energy, sleep for the things that we love. So what do you really love? Do you love God? Do you know God's love for you? How are you responding? But there is this direct correlation between love and sacrifice, isn't there? And we see it in God's own love. There is no greater love than the love that God has given us, in the sacrifice that is given us. The more we are willing to sacrifice, the more we love that thing which we sacrifice for. And God gives his very best. He sacrifices his very own son for us. Have you felt that? Have you experienced God's love in your life? What does it mean for you? How is it changing you? See, God's love is not like the world's love, is it? How does the world tend to love? The world tends to love those who love them back. It tends to sacrifice when we feel we can get a return on that sacrifice. But God's love is different. It's unconditional. He loves us not because we're lovable. He loves us. He sacrifices his son for us, even whilst we were sinners, even whilst we were his enemies, even whilst we rebelled and rejected him and were unfaithful to him. And yet, he sacrificed his son for us. We love because of God's love, and our love ought to look like God's love. Sacrificial, unconditional, forgiving, unrelenting love. God's incredible love is the way that we ought to love one another. So let's think about application for the time that I've got left. I want us to apply this command from God. It's not really command. This is what we're called to do. It should live out of us. You know, how do we love one another here at CCC? How do we apply this here at CCC? And I want to say to you, what the Apostle John says in verse 11. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. So how do we do that? So the first application I have is actually not so much to do anything. The first application is for all of us, myself included, is to keep on dwelling and reflecting on how much we recognize God's love in our life. That is the most important thing for us to do. Now, I know that we can just tend to be very task-orientated people. But where do we get our motivation to keep loving when love is hard, to forgive when forgiveness is hard, to sacrifice time, money, energy, sleep for others? Where do we get that motivation to do that, to keep loving one another in such a way? Well, we only get that motivation when we realize how much God loves us. How can I not keep loving others as God has loved me? So that's the first application. keep on dwelling and reflecting on how deep and wide and great and high is God's love for us. Now let's get practical. There are two practical ways that I want us to apply this love for one another. Two practical ways. Informally and formally. Informal ways and informal ways. The formal ways are the ways in which you see all around us here at church on Sundays. You know, the AV desk, music team, service leading, prayer, Bible reading, graphics team. You know, there's always need for people to be serving in these roles. And if you have the time and energy and want, happy to receive some training for any of these roles, come and talk to any of the pastors. Come talk to Phil Cole. We'd love to talk to you. And you can be a builder here in CCC to help build up CCC and love one another in those formal ways. And there are ways outside of the service as well that you can serve and love God's people as well. You know, Sunday school, FY, fire, growth groups, all sorts of different ways in which you can be a builder of God's people. So come and talk to us about any of these opportunities. And on behalf of the pastors, we really, really want to thank all of you who are serving in formal ways. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you for the time and the energy that you all give. You sacrifice so much. And I love my FY leaders. They give so much to the youth. And all of you serving different ways, thank you so much. That's what being a church is about. But there are also informal ways that we can serve. And those ways are actually often unseen. It's just, part of it is just turning up. The ministry of just turning up to church and saying, here I am. I want to be amongst you. I care for you. You're my brother. You're my sister. And being together is important. And I'm here. Just turning up. The ministry of praying for each other. Even when people don't know you're praying for them. Those informal ways are just so important. And the ministry of caring for each other, giving each other a call and saying, how are you doing? I've noticed that, you know, you haven't come, perhaps, or I've noticed you've been pretty quiet when you come to church, just wondering how you're doing. You want to grab lunch sometime, grab a coffee, catch up. Love to know how you're going. And the ministry of hospitality, inviting friends into your home, sharing life with one another. These informal ways are so, so important. And let me encourage all of us to practice loving one another in those informal ways. So let me ask you personally, how can you love the church? Is there something that you can do to be a builder of God's people here at CCC? As you think about that, as you think about how you can love others and love one another here at CCC, let me remind you to remember and to dwell on God's great love for you, how he first loved you and gave his son as a sacrifice for you so that you can know him, so that you can know eternal life, so that you can have a hope beyond this life, be saved forever. And we were reminded last week that the love that we share for one another is not something that just stays here. But Jesus says, John 13:34, I think. Same. Anyway. You know, love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. The way that we love one another here at CCC is a light to those around us, to our friends, our family, to the community watching on. We come and we love and we sacrifice for one another because God first sacrificed his son for us. Let me pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love to us. Thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus, Lord. We confess, God, our sins. We confess that we are unworthy, that we are undeserving of your love, God. But we thank you, God. Thank you for pouring your love into our lives and filling us with your Spirit. And we pray, and I pray for everyone in this room, that you would keep convicting us of your love, Lord, and help us not to keep this love to ourselves, but transform us and change us, Lord, and make us more like Jesus. Help us to love as you have loved us. Help us to forgive one another as you have forgiven us, Lord. Help us to serve one another as you have served us, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.